I'm Frank Vaughn. It's August 3rd, 2026. We are just coming off a three-hour live stream yesterday. Hope you enjoyed that. Tried to interact with as many of you as I could. We're going to focus on the war today, and I know in the past that that's annoyed a bunch of people, but you have to understand there is far more consequence wrapped up in the war effort in Iran for Canada and the world than any other thing that's going on, including anything that our government is doing. What is happening in the Persian Gulf, what is happening in the Strait of Hormuz, what is happening in the Middle East is going to rewire the world. It's going to change maps. It's going to change what the reserve currency is. It's all bound up in this moment, which is why we need to talk about it and why I need to constantly try and communicate what I think is important to understand about the conflict. Without further ado, here we go. The first thing I want to discuss is a headline on screen. Qatar urges implementation of U.S.-Iran Memorandum of Understanding, calls for freedom of navigation in the Strait of Hormuz. You have to unpack this. This is the Chinese position. It's the Qatari position. It's the position of a number of people involved. The MOU, which the United States agreed to and then violated multiple times, is the only basis to move forward on. And the Americans, for their part, the Trump administration, does not want to implement the MOU. They viewed it as a delay tactic to rearm and to try and finagle their way into something better because it represents a capitulation, an acknowledgement of strategic defeat. But this is the line. This is what the Iranians insist upon. The Strait of Hormuz will be their domain. They will co-manage it with the Omanis, and the United States needs to butt out. Part of that is butting out of the region in general, militarily. One of the things that you need to do if you're trying to understand the situation is you need to dispense with any notion that the Americans are in control. Everything the United States is saying about the situation in Iran is bluster and it's empty. And I'm going to show you how. And actually, I'll show you right now how. We'll get back to this. This is traffic. The only ships that are moving, and you can watch this every day for yourself, the only ships that are moving through the Strait of Hormuz right now are moving through the Iranian side. The blockade that the United States keeps telling you is effective, I think they announced 500 ships have been rerouted, is leaky, and they're just lying about it. The Omani side has no traffic. It's not because the transponders are getting turned off and then turned back on, because again, you can watch it in real time. The only traffic that is moving, a lot of Chinese traffic, because the Americans are afraid to interdict against it, for good reason. Mario Nafal. Everyone is pissed at Trump right now, even the Israelis. Saudi and Qatar are pissed that there's no peace. The UAE, Kuwait, and Bahrain are pissed because he's being too dovish. Israel is pissed that Trump called off today's strikes. Iran is pissed about the threats and MOU breaches. The world is pissed about the closure of the Strait of Hormuz. Americans are pissed about high gas prices. Neocons are pissed that there isn't regime change. This was predictable. Because if a guy in Saskatchewan could predict that this would be the outcome, that it would be a strategic disaster, and Trump himself could predict this outcome during the election campaign and the lead up to it, and even years ago, if you trace his social media meanderings about this subject, he understood it, yet he walked right into the trap. To put some meat on the bones, the Jewish Telegraphic Agency, Trump says U.S.-Iran talks to begin on Monday, believes Strait of Hormuz deal imminent. There might be an understanding established between the Iranians and the Omanis. Has nothing to do with the United States. Trump says there are secret talks happening today. The Iranians say he's lying. And I tend to believe them because they have been proven more straightforward since this war began than anything the Trump administration is saying. Trump is desperate. He's trying to figure a way to come out of this thing looking like he won. And because he went ahead and murdered so many people in the Iranian leadership, they're not willing to let him off the hook. They want a full-fledged acknowledgement of strategic defeat. The Israelis, they, being angry as they are, they want a guarantee that Trump won't quit this time. If they join him in a new aerial bombardment, which, by the way, will change nothing, if the first 50 days of the 24 to 48 hour war didn't change anything on the ground with Iran. If the last bombing campaign or the latest bombing campaign lasting 13 days didn't change anything, nothing the United States can do now will substantively change anything. Oftentimes, they're hitting the same targets. They don't know what they're doing. And it's obvious. And they're just getting weaker and weaker. And this weakness is actually a public, it's publicly acknowledged. U.S. General warns Pentagon he lacks sufficient forces to protect Israel. The shortage of Navy destroyers used to defend against Iranian ballistic missile attacks will force the head of the U.S. European Command to prioritize the U.S. homeland instead, officials say. This is a big deal. I'm going to show you another big deal. South Korean Navy phasing out U.S. defense air missiles for superior locally developed KSAMs. And another thing before I summarize this, the emerging Saudi-Pakistan-Turkey nexus. Pakistan is capitalizing on its military ties with Saudi Arabia and Turkey to gain strategic influence in the Middle East amid Middle East rivalries and economic trade-offs. The world is replacing the United States for its defense needs. Now, we are at the opening stages of this. It's hard for, it's easy for plebs who listen to Donald Trump and listen to nothing but what he says. He says, oh, we got lots of ammunition. We're strong. We've never been stronger before. One of his guiding philosophies is to never admit defeat. And people have celebrated this. I've talked about it before, not necessarily celebrating it, but you never admit defeat. You just keep pretending you're winning. The problem is that strategy is running up against a great big wall made of reality, and most people now can see through it. He's not really fooling anybody, but he's out of ammo. He's out of options. He doesn't know what else to do except live-action role play that he has the strongest hand. He doesn't. He might have nuclear weapons, but he can't use them. This opening stage, every intelligence agency in the world, every nation in the world can see that the United States has depleted itself critically and lacks the manufacturing capacity to replenish rapidly its highly advanced weapon systems. You know, even a chip of paint on an F-35 puts it out of commission because they're so technologically sophisticated, it's actually their weakness. The Americans are being undone by cheap drones and cheap ballistic missiles that are costing them a fortune they can't afford. Once again, we go to the U.S. debt clock. One in $5 is going to just interest payments on the debt. The Trump administration is not fixing this. The U.S. government is not fixing this. The Social Security system is bankrupt. Somewhere around 2029, Medicare, Medicaid, all of it is in. We're entering into a phase of impending failure, and printing is just going to increase prices. It's not really increasing prices; it's just destroying the value of the dollar. At a time when central banks all over the world are slowly but surely replacing U.S. treasuries with gold and other assets, the reserve currency was being replaced before this war began. The United States, with its crumbling bridges, its crumbling infrastructure, which Trump used to talk about, cannot afford hundreds of billions of dollars to fight a war in Iran that they can't win. So if the United States goes ahead, and this is the real thing, and this is why Trump called off this attack, because it's true. The Saudis called him up and said, you can't do this because we're going to pay the price. The Qataris, the Omanis, the UAE, everybody called him up and said, dude, what are you doing? If you bomb their energy infrastructure, the Iranians are prepared to destroy everything in the Middle East. They've been measured. They've used their munitions judiciously. When they finally decide they're going to hit, when they finally see their existence on the line in terms of energy, I'm not trying to sit here and pretend that bombing Iranian energy infrastructure, desalinization facilities, and just essentially going right to war crimes won't hurt them, but they are prepared to inflict much more pain in return. And the Saudis said, we'll have to dump U.S. treasuries to pay for it. People have said the Saudis only hold something like $115 billion in treasuries. That's the number that's being floated around. I haven't verified it because it doesn't matter. If you picture a glass with water in it, it's not the water that's filled the glass already that makes the cup overflow. It's the drops at the top that actually cause the problem. The United States cannot afford these hundreds of billions of dollars while bond rates are up near 4.7, 4.8%. The U.S. debt is becoming unserviceable at a time when spending is increasing because of a foolish war that can't be won. So the world has discerned this. The South Koreans have discerned this. The Saudis and the Middle Eastern people, they have discerned this. NATO, to a degree, has discerned this, but Europe, people keep saying, well, Europe's even weaker than the United States, or Canada's even weaker than the United States. We're all on a crashing plane because we've all tied our fates to the U.S. dollar. We've all tied our fates to the post-Bretton Woods system of 1971. So when we make these comparisons, we're fighting for seats, the good seats, on a plane that's crashing. And the world knows this. So the Europeans are a bit more dovish when it comes to their talk about the United States because all of them are hoping they can still pull it out. Meanwhile, the Asian world and the rest of the world slowly prepares for the moment when the US dollar is no more the reserve currency. They prepare for the moment, which is already here, when the United States can no longer guarantee their security. That's already here. The United States can't fight a war in the Pacific. The United States can't fight a war in Europe. The United States, every time it does another bombing run against the Iranians, further weakens its position, and it can't recover because it doesn't have the money to recover. It can print for sure and rob Americans of their purchasing power, and there is a certain segment of the American public that will continue to applaud that decision because Trump is amazing. Meanwhile, they get destroyed. Meanwhile, America gets destroyed. You're literally throwing your future away and any potential you have to reorganize the republic and rebuild the republic, which is desperately needed, was the promise of the Trump administration before it got elected this time. You're throwing it away, destroying empty buildings in Iran. The headline on screen showing exactly how out of touch this president has become. I don't think it was always this way, but he has certainly become this way. Trump slams Chevron CEO, demands immediate reduction of U.S. fuel prices. So instead of acknowledging the problem, Trump keeps saying another myth. And that myth is that the United States doesn't need the rest of the world's oil. They produce enough of their own and they can just reject everybody else. It's nonsense. Sure, the United States can export a lot of particular types of oil to the world, but they're still dependent on imports of oil from elsewhere of the grade and type that they don't produce at home. And you're dealing with a global oil economy. Somebody said in the comment section on Twitter or YouTube yesterday that the Americans are hoping, and that this is a master plan, that the Ukrainians destroying and disrupting, which they're not destroying the ability of Russia to produce oil. Their exports have only increased. When you actually look at the numbers, the damage the Ukrainians are doing is real, but it is not totally effective. It's temporal. The Russians are prepared for it. This idea, there's an idea out there that the Americans are trying to destroy the energy production and export capacity of the world so that they are the only people who can then control oil sales to the world. This is why they went into Venezuela to control that oil supply. This is why they're finagling or talking about the 51st state with Canada. They're going to capture the oil market and they're going to control it for the world. Absolute foolishness, because there is a global market for oil and you can see the truth every time you go to a gas pump and fill up your car. The price you're paying is derived globally because the United States is still dependent on millions of barrels a day of imports, and they're running short. I don't know how people don't understand this. That's why the Strategic Petroleum Reserve is getting drawn down week after week by millions of barrels, and you're getting to a point where the problem is critical. And Trump actually acknowledged this in the lead up to the MOU. Actually, it was post-MOU, where he said we only had 4 to 6 weeks left. He actually told the truth. Well, that lands somewhere mid-August. That situation hasn't changed. That's why he's yelling at Chevron, which is yelling about a symptom and yelling about people when it's you who created the disaster. It's not solving the problem. What does he need to do? He needs to walk away from the Middle East. He needs to accept that Iran has won this war and that they have control of the Strait of Hormuz, and the U.S. empire is no longer able to project its power over the Middle East. They must come home. The troops must come home. The ships must come home. There's no reason for the United States to try and guarantee safe navigation to the world when North America is here, needs desperately attention of those who live here. In a time when the United States can no longer guarantee security. It's actually been this way for a while. The United States has acknowledged multiple times over the last 10 years that they can't fight two wars at the same time. Now they can no longer fight one because of this disaster in Iran. I want to attempt to go through a few more things very quickly. U.S. military mulls new cell phone ban for troops after fury over Metaglass's videos. Such a move to restrict mobile communications would significantly alter the landscape for thousands of U.S. troops in the region. I want to draw your attention to such a move to restrict mobile communications would significantly alter the landscape for thousands of U.S. troops in the region, many of whom rely on their devices to stay in touch with family. And the basis is a top U.S. commander for the Middle East has issued a stark warning to troops, cautioning the cell phone video shared online are inadvertently assisting Iran in targeting American bases. This is nonsense. There's no assistance that the Iranians need from troops who might inadvertently share a cell phone video. They're getting direct assistance from China now. They're getting targeting help from China. And for some reason, the United States is afraid to really say this out loud. It would be hypocritical. I mean, the Americans providing logistical data to the Ukrainians to hit Russia. I mean, all nations do this to each other in one form or another. But the Iranians do not need this data. This is about the public relations fiasco that is all of the satellite imagery and all of the on-ground imagery that shows that when CENTCOM comes out and says we intercepted everything and the Iranians have done no damage, we know they're lying. We know they're lying. Damage is being done, and it's being done every single day. And I want to, this exclusive, this was back on July 30th, Iran to get Chinese shoulder-launched missile systems in weeks. Now that the Iranians have done the heavy lifting, now that they have survived for 155 or 156 days, the 24 to 48 hour war, and they have demonstrated that a bombing campaign will result in nothing in terms of substantive change on the ground, the Chinese are getting more involved. Like I said, they're now providing logistical data to target those ballistics very accurately, and they're going to continue doing so. And now they're flouting the U.S. edict that says China better not. Trump came out and he said, they better not be helping Iran. They'll be in big trouble. We will wag our fingers at them. They can't do anything. The United States can't stop China from doing anything. It's pretty wild that anybody would continue to think so. But now the Chinese are getting more actively involved in direct defense. And this is just, it's a further signal that the Americans cannot win this war. Trump's approval rating hits record lows in two new polls. A poll released by Quinnipiac University. Now, I mean, you can hate polling. You can say it's all fake. You can say it's all overstated. Fine. Approval rating of 32%. Add 10 points. Okay? Add 33% to the approval rating. That's still 42. Quinnipiac is a polling source that Trump has been content to promote himself to the applause of his sycophants and his base, who don't think and aren't loyal to ideas, only loyal to the man, their sports team. He's applauded Quinnipiac before. So I don't think there's anything wrong with me using a Quinnipiac poll. AP Nork poll has him at 33%. At this point, the polling companies don't have to lie, or at least lie by much. Because it is very clear that Trump is deeply underwater. Americans are hurting. He's lost the independence. And what he needs to do is just get out. He needs to accept the L. He needs to accept the fact that the Democrats are going to lay this defeat on him. They're going to lay the destruction of the global economy at his feet. And then work domestically to try and salvage the situation. Another headline, Iran has surrounded Saudi Arabia and the threats are closing in. I don't know how many people watching this will be aware, but Ansar Allah, which everybody calls the Houthis in Yemen, in one day did more damage to Saudi alternative oil production going through the Red Sea than any amount of advanced fighters in a standing army could have done. And it really concerned them, because if the Houthis can shut down their energy production and refining capacity in the western part of Saudi Arabia and cut them off from the Red Sea, then Saudi Arabia goes broke. And this is a big threat. And Ansar Allah and the Iranians haven't made good on this threat yet, because they're using it as leverage to try and get Trump to admit defeat. But if it happens, as the Saudis told and communicated to the Americans, I firmly believe it happened, that if that happened, they would have to sell treasuries to stay afloat. And that's one of the reasons why Trump, once again, called off his attack, not to save the world. The language that he surrounds these decisions in is just so much bluster and hot air. He's in a pickle. He can't actually do anything. And if this thing really gets kicked off, you're going to see the entire region burn and the global economy burn with it. And my fear is, I think that's, in the end, I think that's where we're going. I don't think Trump's ego, I don't think his political position will allow him to keep calling off attacks. And the Israelis are now communicating that if you want our support in any future attack on Iran or Ansar Allah, you have to publicly state that you won't quit again, because he's left. Whether you like Israel or not is not the point. Whether you support the Israeli foreign policy, it's not the point. Trump has left them hanging in the wind multiple times now. He shifted trajectories as they got, including up to this time, as they were getting ready to accept some of the damage that was going to come their way once the Americans started renewing bombs. They got ready, and then Trump backed off without even calling them. And so now they're saying, look, if you want our help, you're going to have to publicly commit to it. And all the while, the reason his approval numbers are down is because of things like this. The real threat to young Americans' jobs isn't AI, it's the national debt. The United States is careening towards the edge of insolvency and cannot afford the foreign wars. It can't even afford to project power globally. It needs to come home. Trump acknowledged this when he ran. I'm not a traitor for saying that he acknowledged this when he ran, and we expected him to make good on it. Instead, the United States is still trying to pretend that the unipolar moment is still alive, that they are the world's only hegemon. They haven't accepted multipolarity. They're still trying to project power into the world, and they're floundering. And it's not a good thing. I don't like seeing it. I don't like talking about it, but it is what it is. So to sum up, this isn't an anti-Trump rant. This is a hope that the administration can focus, or get its focus back on the things that it talked about doing when it was running for office. The United States needs its own attention more than the world does. This is something that they understood before this all began. Something we'll get into tomorrow, because I think there will be more official data maybe available tomorrow or the next day. We have preliminary leaks. But talking about the effort to get illegals out of the country, it's a new all-time high. Something like 4,600 people are being deported every single week or taking into detainment. Self-deportations are abysmally low. But 4,600 a day, it's not enough. The administration has to get far more aggressive about deportations if they actually want to get the immigration system under control. They're doing what they can, and I don't fault them. I should say that at the outset. When Biden let in tens of millions of people, and for that matter, other administrations, it's a lot easier to open the door. It's a lot more complicated and a lot harder to gather all the people up that shouldn't be there and force them back out the door. It's a lot more effort. Everybody knows this. It's easy to take a sledgehammer and knock down a wall. It takes a lot longer to rebuild that same wall. And these are the things, That's just one thing of a basket of things that I've highlighted in this video that desperately need the attention of the administration, of Americans, and of Americans' own money. Your money, America's money, shouldn't be getting spent fighting a war it cannot win overseas. It should be spent strengthening the United States and building Fortress North America. It's the only game in town, and I'm afraid it's being lost. I'm Frank Vaughn. I'll see you in the next one.